ॐ कटाक्षकिरणाचान्त नमन्मोहाब्धये नमः अनन्तानन्दकृष्णाय जगन्मङ्गलमूर्तये अहमस्मि सदा भामि कदाचिन्नाहमप्रियः प्रमायवाहमथ सिद्धं सच्चिदानन्दलक्षणम् मयेवोदेति चिद्व्योम्नि जगद्गन्धर्वपत्तनम् अथोऽहं न कथं ब्रह्म सर्वज्ञं सर्वकारणम् न स्वतः प्रत्यभिज्ञानात् निरंशत्वान्न चान्यतः न चाश्रयविनाशान्मे विनाशस्याद् अनाश्रयात् साक्षी सर्वान् I have it printed on the back. Nashoshaplosha vikleda chedaschinna baso mama sadhyairabhyanilam vagnaha shastrai kimuta kalpitarihi abharupasya vishwasya banam vasam dhirvina kadachinna vikalpeta bhachaham tena sarvadaha न हि बाणात् रथे सत्त्वं न रथे बाणं चतोचितः चित्संवेदोऽपि नाध्यासाद् रथे फेनाहमद्वयः न देहो नेन्द्रियं चाहं न प्राणो न मनो न धीः ममता परिरद्धत्वात् आक्रीडत्वात् इदं धियः साक्षी सर्वान् विधप्रेयान् अहन्नाहं साक्षी सर्वान् विधप्रेयान् अहन्नाहं कदाचन परिणाम परिच्छेद परिथापायुपप्लवात् लक्ष्मि सुप्तेऽहमि न दृश्यन्ते सुप्तेऽहमि न दृश्यन्ते बिग् टैपो Here it is. Remember? Do you have Sue there? It should be do.
I have do.
You have do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Thanks
because
to Lisa.
She printed it out yeah. after I made the correction. Instead of Sukha. The only thing is, Sukha doesn't have the Visarga in it, you know? Sukha is just Sukha. So it's obviously a typo, but just cross out the Su and put Du. Sukha means happiness, Dukkha means sorrow.
Okay.
Very funny. Okay. But this is all fixed on the, all of these typos are fixed on the online. Okay. Ready? Supte hamina drishante. Supte hamina drishante. Dukkha dosha pravrittayaha. दुःखदोषप्रवृत्तयः अथस्थस्यैव संसारः अथस्थस्यैव संसारः न मे संसर्तृसाक्षिणः न मे संसर्तृसाक्षिणः Let's do the sandhi. Did you find it, Uma?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the first. I see now, though.
Yeah, it's that Sue with the Visarga. Yeah.
Right,
Soup okay. Day is fine.
Yeah, okay.
You have to reprint out that page.
Right, okay.
Soup Day, Ahami. Soup Day, Ahami. Na, Drishyante, Dukkha, Dosha, Pravrittayaha. Attaha, Tasya eva samsaraha na me samsartra sakshinaha. So let's look at the grammar. Supte from soup is a past passive participle in the locative, and aham is also ahami in the locative. So you've got a locative absolute, supte ahami, when I slept, when I was asleep. Right? Sup means to sleep. So aham when both of those are in the locative, it's called an absolute locative. When I slept, or when I was asleep. Supte, ahami, two locatives. Na, not. Drishyante is the passive from push in the third person plural. So it means a subject. It means was seen. Na drishyante was not seen, was not perceived. Pash drish means to see. Drishyante is the passive in the third person plural. So na drishyante, it was not seen. It is not seen, okay? So you can do when I'm asleep, na drishyante, then what? Dukkha dosha pravrittiyaha. You know, pravrittiyaha means the activity or also the appearance, the manifestation, or just the activity. You can say, like, the appearance or manifestation is fine. There is no appearance or no activity of dukkha, of sorrow. You can, in English, it might work better to say there is no manifestation of sorrow. No manifestation of sorrow, of dukkha, is seen. The na comes from the negative. If I put it positively, the manifestation or the appearance of dukkha is not seen. And nor dosha. You could say dosha means a defect. Any kind of defect. You could say dukkha dosha, the defect, you know, the problem, the defect of dukkha, of sorrow, or any type of negative, any type of defects, or any type of dukkha. So there is no appearance of... So you can take the dukkha and dosha as a dwandwa, going with the pravritti. The manifestation of dukkha and dosha, nadrishyante, is not seen. When I'm asleep. Okay? When I'm sleeping, when there's a PPP there. When I slept, at that time, there's no manifestation, no appearance of sorrow, of any kind of dukkha, or any dosha, anything wrong. That's not there. So supte ahami na drishyante dukkha dosha pravrittiyaha, from pravritti.
Do you think that's a great blessing from Ishvara to allow...
To give you a time out in deep sleep, yeah.
I mean, seriously. Yeah.
Seriously, yeah. I think it gives us a chance to rejuvenate. And if things are really bad and you can't handle it, just go to sleep.
It's easier said.
Yeah. That's true. Ataha, therefore. Ataha is like tataha. You know, ataha, therefore. Tasya, eva. For that alone. For that. Tasya goes back to the ahankara, right? When I slept, right? Then the samsara is for that one. Not for me. For the one who went to sleep, right? Samsara is for that one, the one who went to sleep. Name samsartra sakshinaha. Not for... Sakshinaha is from sakshin, right? So it's in genitive singular. For the sakshi of the samsari. Samsartra means the one who is the experiencer of samsara. Just a samsari, you know, that re affix, like kartra, you know, the one who does the samsara, the samsari. So it's like saying like this, since when I sleep, there is no sukha dukkha, there's no dosha, there's not the appearance of anything, right? When I go to sleep, all of these things are going to unmanifest condition. You know? Therefore, the samsara is for that one, right? Not for the one who's the witness, right? Not for the one who's the sakshi of the samsari, of the one who goes through that change.
So that one refers to...
To the one who goes to sleep. Because when that one, when the ahankar, the I notion, the jiva, you know, when the mind, you can say, when the buddhi, when the mind goes into sleep, there's no more samsara. Right? The ahankara, the I, goes into unmanifest condition at that time. The whole mind goes into avyakta, into an unmanifest condition. So in that deep sleep state, there are no problems. There is no dukkha. There's no one saying there. You know, I am so unhappy. I am so sorrowful. This is wrong. That is wrong. The doshas. This is wrong. That is wrong. You know, this is defective. This is not working. This is not how it's supposed to be. You know, this is a sorrowful situation. All of this commentary doesn't even exist when a person goes to sleep, right? And so then, who does the samsara exist for? Who does the samsara belong to? It belongs to the one who's awake, right? Because when that one goes awake, it belongs to the mind that's awake. When the mind goes into unmanifest condition, the samsara disappears, right? And so who does the samsara belong to? It belongs to the ahankara. It belongs to the buddhi. It belongs to the jiva, the one who's awake.
Could you say to the waking state or not? No.
Well, we're talking really, when you say ahami, we're talking about the ahankara. The ahankara is something that's manifest when the mind is awake. You know, the one who identifies with the mind. The ahankara is the one who says, I am the mind. It's okay?
Yeah, we'll ask you after you're done.
Okay. The one who says, you know, the one who says, I am awake, or the one who says, I am happy, I am sad, I am troubled. The one who identifies with the experience, that's the ahankara. So when the ahankara goes to sleep, right, the ahankara disappears in sleep. These problems aren't there. But of course, when the ahankara goes to sleep, the whole buddhi goes to sleep. The buddhi, the manas, all the whole mind goes into avyakta, into unmanifest condition. So when the ahankara, particularly the one who's claiming to have all of these problems, right? So we don't care about the buddhi so much here in the manas. We care about the ahankara, who's identifying the self with the buddhi, with the intellect, with the mind, and with one's experiences. So when one goes to sleep, then the mind, which includes the ahankara, the I notion, the I am, goes into unmanifest condition. All these problems are not happening. Right? There's no buddhi, there's no ahankara saying there, you know, I'm a samsari or woe is me, and all the problems. And all the problems and joys. They're just using dukkha here and dosha, because that's what we worry about. Mm. But you could as well say sukha and dukkha. You know, and gunas, all of the great qualities. Guna often means qualities in general, or all of the good qualities. All of the gunas, all of the doshas. And all of the good qualities, all of the defects, all of the happy experiences, all of the pleasure, all of the pain. When you go into deep sleep, the ahankara that had been saying, I'm so happy, I'm so sad, you know, all is well with me, these are beautiful qualities, these are negative qualities. All of those things disappear. And so who do they belong to then? Not to the sakshi that illumines the ahankara, you know, because the mind as well as the ahankara is illumined by the sakshi, by consciousness. So that's why, that little point, this is why when we divide, we categorize the mind, the vrittis, into four major waking state categories. Right? Because we want to have four major categories that also include the ahankara. So we have the buddhi. If we divide the mind into four categories of vritti, we have the buddhi, which is the intellect, and the manas, which is the fluctuating mind that really includes all of the emotions. The manas is basically controlled by the buddhi or overwhelmed by the buddhi, right? Or the manas can overwhelm the buddhi, but the buddhi is the one that's left standing. The manas can include all, especially negative emotions. We've got the buddhi, the intellect, the manas, the mind, right? The chitta, the memory, right? And the ahankara, which is the I notion, the I thought. So the ahankara is just a vritti. But the vritti, the thought, is the type of thought that identifies consciousness, the conscious being, the sakshi, with all of the experiences, right? That are all of the objectifiable experiences. So, for instance, the I am thought, if I have, for instance, the manas, there's a dukkha vritti. Say there's a dukkha vritti, a thought modification of sorrow, a sorrowful thought. The manas, the ahankara, will come and say, I am unhappy. So when the ahankara, the I am, what makes the ahankara an ahankara is that it identifies me, you know, the consciousness, that is that never varies in any way. It identifies that stable me with an emotion that I'm having. So say you have a manas, a mood. The ahankara will come along and say, I am that. Okay? I am sorrowful. Or say your physical body is tired. The ahankara will identify with a quality of the body and say, I am tired. Right? And so then the aham is identifying the consciousness with a quality of the body. So the ahankara is a vritti just like any other vritti. And just like any other vritti, just like the manas say, I am sorrowful, the sorrow is illumined. The ahankara that says, I am sorrowful, is as much illumined, right? And the ahankara is something that is continually shifting based upon whatever the experience happens to be. So for the ahankara, if you were to look at the manas now, for now, just as emotion, the ahankara shifts depending, because of its identity with the emotion, identifying consciousness with the emotion, it will say, I am happy, I am sad, I am agitated, I am, you know, whatever the emotion happens to be. And so the ahankara is continually taking on to the atma, you know, this is what we call adhyasa, the superimposition. It's superimposing onto the atma these qualities which it is actually aware of, right? So these qualities are, we say they're objectified. They're something that I am aware of. When I say objectified, it means there's something I'm aware of that I can describe. They're qualities that come and go. But the ahankara is a busy little bee because you don't come and go. And so whatever the vritti is or the mood or the emotion is, that emotion is illumined and has you for itself. You know, you're the invariable. But the ahankara, because of self-ignorance, it belongs to the mind, it takes the emotion or the perception to be the self or a quality of the self. So I am that, or I have that. That's the ahankara. Right? And so the ahankara is actually a product of ignorance, of self-ignorance. You need self-ignorance to have an ahankara.
Can't we tell that ahankara just
cool to back off? Just back off and cool.
That it's over with. Can't we just tell it once, or do we have to keep working with it?
You have to keep working with it because the ahankara, like Swamiji has often used this example, is when this teaching takes place, the teaching is like a huge flashlight that is following the ahankara, all of the points of identification, you know. And so as the light starts approaching the ahankara, if it gets lit up, then it's gone. So the ahankara will dash off to its next hiding place, you know. So then what happens is, as the light keeps moving with the teaching, the light keeps moving and the ahankara keeps fleeing, but all these places are being lit up and it can't go back to a place that's being lit up. If it's been lit up, right? It can't go back there. And so the teaching keeps following, you know, until it doesn't have a hiding place. And then the ahankara becomes just mithya. It loses its strength. But there's plenty of places for it to hide, you know. So that's just kind of an example that's being used. But so now the question is, who does this ahankara belong to? Does it belong to the sakshi? Say no. Does it belong to the atma? No. Because the atma survives deep sleep, you know. But when the ahankara goes into deep sleep, all of these experiences, including its experience, goes into avyakta. It's not like the world goes into avyakta and the ahankara, avyakta means unmanifest condition. It's not like the world, you go to deep sleep, it's not like the world becomes unmanifest, but the ahankara stays awake. Like the ahankara is saying, I am now the deep sleeper. Right? Like in the waking state, the ahankara can say as a blanket statement, I am the waker. I am the one who experiences the waking state because I'm awake and I can have that. I can say, I'm this body, mind, sense organs who experiences this waking state. That's who I am. That's the Ahankara talking. You know, in the dream state, the dream character makes all kinds of assumptions, and it can even say it, you know. The dream character can say, oh, here I am in the meadow, or whatever. You know, now I'm doing this, and now I'm doing that. It has that experience, and it can state that experience. It doesn't need to state that experience. It can say, it can go to the store, for instance, and it's very obvious, I'm going to the store. It doesn't have to say, I am going to the store. It's a given. It doesn't have to walk around saying, I am this body, mind, sense organs, you know, that is sitting in this room. It just is that. That's a natural assumption that if somebody were to press you, who are you, then you have to start saying it. But it's a very well-assimilated mithyajnanam, you know, a knowledge. It's an assimilated false knowledge. Very well-assimilated. And so now what we're doing in this verse is analyzing this. Is the Ahankara always there? You know, what happens in deep sleep? Not only does the whole world or the dream world go into unmanifest condition, the experiencer, subject object, the knower, the enjoyer of that manifest world goes into deep sleep. This is again the Anvaya Vyatireka. You can see that in the waking state, dream state, deep sleep state, we have these three states of experience. Each one will negate the other. Like, for instance, when the waking state is negated by the dream state. In the waking state, there is a waker and the waker's experience. Means the awake jiva, right? The knower within the dream state. But when you go into when you go from the waking state into the dream state, there's another knower, there's another jiva, another body that you've taken. And there's a subject-object relationship within the dream state. The dream state negates the waking state. One can't be there when the other is there. Then in the deep sleep state negates both of those. Now in the deep sleep state, the subject-object relationship, the subject-object experience is not there at all. Right? And so at the same time, I can say, I am the waker, and I'm the dreamer, and I'm the deep sleeper. So there's what we call an anuvritti. There's an anuvritti, a continuation of your presence, of your being, in all three states of experience. But in the first two, the waking and the dream, the subject object of the waking state is negated by the subject object of the dream state. And in the deep sleep state, the subject, whole subject object is totally negated, right? And so, but what remains is the sakshi, then the self who is really the self of all three. So here they're focusing, and they're focused more on, in the next verse, the two kind of go together. So it says, you know, when the ahankara, the aham is the ahankara, when the ahankara is asleep, then all of these experiences of dukkha, dosha, sukha, everything, all of these experiences are not perceived, nadrishyante. Therefore, the samsara belongs to that one, right? Because the samsara completely goes away in the deep sleep state, as does the aham, not to the sakshi of the aham, not to the one that illumines the aham, right? Which is called here samsartra, means the samsara. The aham, as the aham is the ahankara, is what is responsible for making you take yourself to be, you know, and the body, mind, sense organs, transmigrating jiva. You see? Let's try to chant this again. Sukte, om sukte, amina krishante.
Sukte, amina krishante.
I lost my tune.
There's no hope now.
Just to do it.
That's it. Kadak, I'll tell you. How's it going?
Sukte, amina krishante.
Oh, yeah, sukte, amina krishante. Dukkha dosha pravrittayah.
Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.